Hi, this is Jackie Collins, author of The Power Trip, and I'm having a fabulous time today talking to Mr. Media, so enjoy.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Navi Rawat and Suju Vijayan, star and director respectively of a new indie film, The Playback Singer. It's a wonderfully complicated tale of an Indian singer who comes to the United States to tour and to visit his estranged daughter and her somewhat stoner husband. Stick around. If seeing her dad after 20 years makes Navi's character want to throw up, I'm a little nervous about what 20 to 30 minutes with me will inspire. So much media, little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview. The show is brought to you today by Amazon.com, the world's greatest store for everything from books and movies to computers, TVs, and even my favorite soft drink, Pepsi Wild Cherry. Thinking about buying something online from Amazon or just want to do a little window shopping? You can save yourself a lot of money and help support Mr. Media, that's me, by clicking on one of the Amazon ads at MrMedia.com and start your shopping with us. Get yourself the new iPad or Kindle Fire. Feeling a little racy today? Amazon's got what you need to feel exciting and new, as they used to sing on The Love Boat. Remember, start your next shopping trip from the comfort of your own home, car, hotel, or office with Amazon.com at MrMedia.com. That's right, MrMedia.com. And folks, thanks for your support. Recorded live before a studio audience of stars of NBC's short-lived Mumbai-based sitcom Outsourced in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
As far as I can tell, you just gotta sit around all day waiting for some magical event to occur to make all your dreams come true.
That's crap.
Hi, Dad.
Yeah. How was your flight?
Oh, disgusting.
So, this is your house?
Yes.
So small?
So, Priya earns more money than you.
She earns more than me now.
Yeah.
Are you by any means a Puerto Rican?
Puerto Rican?
Yeah, yeah.
Why the hell would you ask me that?
Hey, you don't make income. You don't work so much.
When was the last time you saw?
Maybe 20 years.
Is the joke of mom nuts?
She loved him until the day she died. So.
38 years old. I live off of my wife. Half the time I wake up and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Nathan fired me.
What? I have something to tell you, Ray. I'm pregnant.
We weren't planning this. We weren't planning on it, were we?
No.
All right, look, if you come with me, you gotta stop with all the insulting crap.
What kind of person you think I am?
You have a child coming in. That scares you, I know. Your child should not be without father. What will happen between you and Priya?
I don't know.
Exposure to Indian culture is, sadly, a bit limited. First came reading a wonderful novel, A Suitable Boy, by Vikram Seth, which was eye-opening to me as, oh, I don't know, visiting Vulcan for the first time was for Starfleet's original Enterprise crew. Since then, there have been equally spectacular glimpses of India, its people, and its customs, via the Academy Award-winning film Slumdog Millionaire, and one of my favorite TV series in many years, Outsourced. I also love the Bollywood musical number in the first season of Smash. The point is, I'm more than a little fascinated by India, yet still incredibly underexposed to it. Watching the new indie film, The Playback Singer, was one more glimpse into a culture that never ceases to compel my interest. Of course, this story takes place in Los Angeles, but no matter. It's the tale of a culture clash that occurs when the lives of a good-for-nothing playground architect and his immigration attorney wife are upended by her fussy, endlessly hypocritical Indian B-movie playback singer father who comes to visit and overstays his welcome. And P.S., she hasn't seen her father since he walked out on her mother and siblings 20 years earlier. Now, my guests today are actress Navi Rawat, who plays the daughter, and whom my wife instantly recognized as, and I put this in quotes, Charlie's girlfriend from Numbers, and who I knew from Burn Notice. And also joining us is the director of the playback singer, Suju Vijayan. The film also stars Ross Partridge as the American husband and Piyush, oh God, help me here, ladies.
It's a Piyush Mishra.
Piyush Mishra, as the playback singer himself. And I will continue to struggle with my pronunciations. Navi and Suju, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, congratulations, first of all, on CineQuest. I understand there was an award winner there.
It was. Thank you. Yeah, we were very excited. The film screened three times, and each time the audiences got bigger and more enthusiastic. And yeah, by the end, we'd won the New Visions Award, which was really the only award we were eligible for. It was the category we were in. And so, yeah, we were very excited about it. It was a great way to start out. It was our first festival.
That's what I wondered. This is the first time you've seen it with a big audience then.
We had a cast and crew screening in Los Angeles, which was great. But of course, that is, you know, preaching to the converted. They were all there and enthusiastic, you know, by definition. But yes, this was the first time we've seen it with a totally unbiased audience. And it was great. You know, people laughed in the correct places. They cried in the correct places. We felt really good about the way the audiences responded to the film.
And Navi, let me ask you about that. I want to say that your character is naked in the film, not physically naked, but emotionally stripped throughout this film. What was it like to see this, you know, with an audience?
I actually got to see, the audience I got to see it with for the first time was quite small, so it was okay because it wasn't I didn't feel very. You know, like there was 1,000 people watching me, I probably would have felt a lot more shy, but I didn't feel it was, sometimes it's hard to watch yourself as an actor, but this time I enjoyed watching the performances in the film. So
it was, you know, watching the film, and I had my wife watch it after me because I was so taken with it. I mean, literally the same night that I watched it, I said to her, you just have to stop what you're doing and watch this. And
that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, just the emotionally, I felt so bad for your character the whole time. I just felt like, oh my God, you got to deal with this father that you haven't had to deal with in 20 years. And, you know, it's not like having Santa Claus land on your porch. He's a difficult SOB most of the time.
Yeah, it's true.
Suju, can you explain for people who don't know, what is a playback singer?
Yeah, in Indian films, in Bollywood films specifically, you know, they're very centered on song and dance. And the songs are all recorded in advance of the actual filming of the film, and then they are played on set and the actors lip sync to them. And in India, playback singers are really as big as movie stars. I mean, they're famous in their own right. And so that is actually what a playback singer is. It's a person who would record the song before the film is even shot.
Oh, okay. And is it so when you call the film The Playback Singer,
right,
in the United States, it may not – we can figure it out, I think. But is it that common a career in India?
Well, I mean, I think as common as anybody, you know, I mean, being in the film and television business is slightly uncommon to start out with. And so within that, though, I think if you're a singer, unless you're doing classical music in India, classical vocal singing or classical sitar, or it is a career. You know, I mean, it is a career for singers because it is something that is needed. And actually, our actor, Piyush Mishra, is a well-known Bollywood playback singer and songwriter as well. So he comes from that tradition.
So if George Clooney was to make a Bollywood film and go to India and make a film, Piyush might be doing his vocals.
He very well could be. He could be writing his songs and singing his songs for him as well. Absolutely.
Now, it's significant, I think, in that one of the big films of this past year was Les Mis, in which the actors actually sang. I mean, Hugh Jackman sang and... okay, help me. I can't remember.
Anne Hathaway,
right?
Yep. Russell Crowe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they all, at least according to the PR that we've all seen, they all sang their own songs. That would have been very unusual.
Yeah, and actually there's a, it's just a very small exchange in the film, but there's a, an exchange between Ray and Ashok, the two characters. They're watching some a clip of a film that Ashok has done some singing for, and Ray's kind of surprised that the actors can't do both, you know, that they can't sing as well as act. It's a very small exchange, not necessarily like the most memorable moment, but it always made me laugh because I thought, well, that's right. You know, here we would not expect that.
Correct. Yeah, I agree. Now, how did each of you come to be involved with the script and the film?
Well, I wrote the script, so it's my project.
That was a softball. I should have known.
Yes, that was a softball. And then, you know, I had seen Navi. You know, you'd mentioned Numbers. I'd seen her. They sent Ocean of Pearls, an indie film that she'd been in. And I was really impressed with her work. And so we sent the script to her manager, who sent it along to Navi.
Navi, what made you decide to get involved in this?
I just really like the story. I really like the character and the complexity of the film, the dynamic between three different relationships and how it changes through the arrival of her father and kind of how what that does for her life and really what they learn, I think, throughout the film and come out better for in the end. So I really just liked the script and the character. And then Suju and I met, and I felt like her and I really connected, and she understood you know, where I was coming from and my vision for the character. And we had a lot of conversations. You know, her and I would say spent probably, I'm not sure about how much time she spent with the other actors, but I think her and I probably spent the most time together kind of going over the script and the character. And, you know, cause my character kind of holds the film together a little bit, I think, you know, she's kind of, yeah, so it was just really, you know, I love the script, I love the character, and then Suju and I just really connected, and I was excited about the project, very much so.
And Navi, from what I understand, you've got a parent who is Indian, but also one that is German, and I'm sorry?
I said, yeah.
Yeah. And so I hadn't really, until I saw the film, and even looking at you in the film, I hadn't really placed you as Indian, per se, and I wondered, and I was looking over some of your other roles, have you actually played Indian? That often?
Only twice. Okay. Only in The Playback Singer and in Numbers.
Okay.
I've played, Hispanic, Iranian, or Persian. I've played a lot of different things over the years.
Yeah, Persian struck me immediately. I mean, you could have been in Argo.
Only I don't speak Farsi, but
hey, listen, Ben wouldn't have known. You know, he doesn't speak it either.
I think he may have known.
He might have noticed.
So that being the case, maybe I should ask you this. What kind of things did you need to bring to Navi in terms of connecting with this character and, you know, the subtleties of what an Indian daughter might do versus an American daughter, for example?
Well, I mean, I think Navi really got it. I mean, one of the things you look for when you meet an actor is you want them to understand the character sort of inherently, and then you work with them and you hope to help them and shape them a little bit. But if the person doesn't get it, you know, you don't want to work with somebody who doesn't understand the character. And I felt that Navi understood the character right off the bat. And the fact is that, you know, I mean, I'm Indian American. I've lived here my entire life. It is a character who's very much an Indian American. You know what I mean? She's not a woman who's super connected to her roots. Obviously, she hasn't been connected to her father. So I think that was something, you know, not that Navi's not connected to her father, because I know she has a very strong relationship with her father. But in terms of...
The character's not. And her mother's passed on, so it's not like she... yeah, go ahead, Suji.
No, you're absolutely right. Go ahead. I mean, I think that's right. And I just felt that Navi got that, but you can certainly elaborate on that.
Yeah, no, I just don't think, you know, compared to, like, Suji mentioned this other film I had done, Ocean of Pearls, where I play a very, very traditional, character, Indian girl and daughter and somebody who's much more traditional. And this character wasn't like that. There wasn't, that wasn't really an element to this character, which is something I liked about her, because I think so many times you see stereotypes of Indians, whether it be in film or in television, it's more stereotypical than what they really are. And I like this. I love that about this script and about this character. It was like, she's Indian, but it's really a story that is universal and reaches across, you know, culture boundaries. And I think all people can relate to it because it goes beyond that. And that's I think with any film, I think that's kind of what separates the good from, like, the great stuff, is that, you know, you want something that's going to transcend and connect with a lot of different types of people. And I think this film was able to do that.
Well, and I want to pick up on what you said about, you know, not doing a stereotypical role. And Suju, I was thinking in directing a film such as this, I mean, do you have to worry about not presenting, a mature Indian man as a caricature for that reason?
Sure. I mean, it's funny. I was thinking about that. I was actually kind of wondering if when I went to this first festival, if people would say, hey, you know, I don't really like that guy. You know, why did you make an Indian man look like that? But first of all, I didn't get that. People actually really liked him, which is great. I think the warmth of the actor comes through, even though he says some things that are rather objectionable, you know. Honestly, I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, I don't think that is the stereotype of the Indian man necessarily, if there is one. You know, I don't think it is the hard-drinking, irresponsible guy, you know. Our stereotypes are rather more flattering in some way. You know, if he was an engineer who never came home because he worked too hard, that might have been more like it, you know. So I felt that way kind of. It didn't pander to any kind of stereotype.
The line that I really liked where Piyush says to Ross, in character, of course, he says, I am your father-in-law. Be respectful. And that just draws a laugh from Ross's character. But, I mean, there are a lot of times in this movie that the audience really can't help but laugh at some of the things that come out of this poor man's mouth.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he is a mix. I mean, he is somewhat buffoonish and full of himself. There's no doubt about it. And I think he is – what I think of him as is he's a guy who's at the end of his career, and he realizes that he has – not put the right things on top of his priority list. He's not put family. He's not put relationships. And because of that, he finds himself very much alone. And the one thing he has done well at his career is coming to an end. So I think he's reacting to all that. It's defense.
Tell me a little about working with Piyush. Because, like you said, your character does kind of hold this film together between... And it's kind of at times between him and Ross Partridge as your husband. What was it like playing with him?
Oh, it was great. I had a wonderful time working with Piyush. Yeah, he's a really lovely guy. We really connected personally. He just takes his work really, really seriously. And I feel like we very much come from this, kind of the same like work ethic when it comes to filming. And it was just wonderful working with him. I really enjoyed it a lot. And it really helped. The more and more we spent time together throughout the filming process, the more I felt like we connected. And then when it came time to do film some of the more emotional kind of big scenes at the end, I really felt like it, you know, the relationship we developed over the course of filming really fed into that very well and helped to strengthen those moments that you actually end up seeing in the end of in the end results. So, nothing but praise for Mr. Mitra.
And yeah, he's great.
I guess either of you could answer this. I kind of wondered if Ross had any background questions before or during production, and if there were things that surprised him in the script about either his father-in-law or the relationship between father and daughter in terms of, you know, cultural issues.
I think I remember one moment. There's a scene between Ray and Priya where they're in bed and, Ashok is in the other room and they have a conversation, and the end of it kind of ends with him trying to get her to fool around, essentially. And he sort of did not get why her character wouldn't want to, you know? And Navi and I were like, no, her dad's down the hall. She's not going to do that. She's an Indian daughter, you know, that is just not going to happen. And that took some explaining to him for him to get it. I'm glad that's how we did it, because I Navi can speak to that too, but that's right. In my opinion,
yeah,
that's how an Indian daughter would react.
Absolutely. No, and it was funny because initially in the script, it kind of their characters do kind of start fooling around. And I went to Suju and I said, you know, Suju, the more I think about this, and, you know, my father is Indian. Mm-hmm. We have a close relationship, like Suju said. But, you know, I said to her, I said, I just don't feel like she would do this. I feel like even if she would want to, you know, maybe they could start, and then it would be like, no, I can't do this. My dad's in the next room. You know, I just know what it's like to have an Indian father and what you wouldn't do when they're in the next room. So I kind of fought for that. And you know, thank gosh, Suju's Indian also, and kind of agreed. And she's like, no, I agree with you completely. You're right. It'd be something someone would struggle with. So there were some cultural things I felt like we had to kind of, you know, explain him along the way. But that's completely understandable because the Indian culture is so, you know, there's so much, it's kind of a very elaborate, and a lot of the rituals and a lot of the different things are, you know, if you don't know and you've never been there, or you don't have, you don't have Indian friends you're extremely, extremely close to, if you just wouldn't know. It's just, yeah. There's just so much stuff. You know, even I got married last year and I was writing my thank you cards and writing all the Indian names out. Someone was helping me with it and they kept messing every name up. And I was just being so frustrated. I'm like, no, when you say G, it's a term of respect. And like, she just didn't understand. I was just like, it's impossible to explain Indian culture to somebody who doesn't know. I was actually getting really frustrated. It was really quite funny.
Wow. Yep. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's absolutely right. I'm glad she brought that up and fought for it because I think that was the right way to go.
Well, and just for the sake of pointing out, as American, I would say that my own wife, who is also American, via German and Czech roots, would have the same response being in my mother's house, for example, if that was the situation. So, just for what.
Well, that's one thing I was going to say. I mean, I think a lot of the things that happen in the film, they may be rooted in an Indian American experience, but the fact is we can all relate to them. I mean, right. You know, we've all had to deal with difficult relatives, parent-child relationships, husband-wife relationships. I mean, my goal in making the film was that it's not just about Indians. There are Indians in it because of who I am, but it's about any of us. It's ultimately about these relationships.
And so, Suju, tell me about the inspiration for writing the script. Did you know someone like Piyush's character or...?
Well, he's a bit of an amalgam of many of my older Indian relatives, taken a bit to an extreme, though many of them have said some of the things he's said. They're very uncensored. They're very frank. But I actually thought about the playback singer character. I took my mother to Disney Hall, which is our big concert hall here where the LA Philharmonic plays. And Asha Bhosle, who is actually one of the biggest playback singers in the world, she's in the Guinness Book of World Records for recording the most songs in the world, her and her sister. She was playing, but in front of her, the opening act was sort of a slightly older, pompous Indian man, and he was a playback singer. He was singing and talking about himself and a little pompous. And my mom leaned over to me at one point and said, you know, his father was a great playback singer, but he's second rate. He only does television. And I thought he was a funny character. You know, I thought it's a washed up, kind of pompous playback singer. And I just sort of put it in the back of my head. And when I wanted to write something to shoot, I thought of that character, but I knew that because of who I am and because of logistical needs, I wanted it to be here in the U.S. And so then I thought about how to bring him here, and I thought of his estranged daughter and what their relationship would be like. And then I thought of her husband and who he could be. And I didn't want to make it just about a clash of cultures, like Indian dad comes and disapproves of white son-in-law. But I wanted to make it a little more like Indian dad comes, sees that white son-in-law is kind of going down the path he has been in life in terms of neglecting family and the things that are important and not kind of getting on with it, and tries to play, you know, the role of marriage counselor, if very crudely.
You know, I had a little difficulty trying to figure out how to describe the film because it's clearly a family drama, but there are moments of comedy in it. How did the moments of comedy play in an audience?
Very well. I mean, as Navi said, she was there for the smallest screening. So I said our audience is built over the course of the film festival. But we played there and then we played in Omaha. And I have to say, the comedy played extremely well. And I was really happy about that. I think Piyush and Ross, just like Navi was saying, she had with Piyush, they had a great connection off camera. And it came through. Their chemistry came through in those scenes. And they were very funny. And people laughed long and hard, which I really appreciated. That was nice. It was nice to hear.
And Navi, one more question for you, and we'll start to wrap up. But you've enjoyed clearly a lot of success on TV. You've had regular recurring roles on Numbers, on 24, Burn Notice, The OC. You're recently in an episode of Justified I saw. Would you like to land a regular series in the future, or do more films, or maybe both? Where are you going?
I actually enjoy working in both mediums. Yeah, I really, I do. I genuinely enjoy working in both mediums, and if it's the right series, and it's I'd be more than happy to do that. And then, you know, the same with film, when the right film comes along, you know, that stuff. I really enjoy working in both mediums and hope to continue to do so.
Very good. And what's next for you, Navi?
Well, I have a film that came out in the fall called The Collection. It came out in theaters, and so that's being released on DVD this month. So I have that. And then right now we're just promoting the film. Yeah.
Definitely.
Are you dealing with the pilot season? Have you?
A little bit of that, yeah, I am. I was.
All right.
I am. That's still going on a bit.
All right. And Suzy, basically same question. What's up next for you? Obviously, you're pushing this film right now.
Yes, I mean, we are pushing the film. We have more festivals coming up. We're working with our sales agent for distribution. So certainly pushing the film is top of my agenda. And then after that, I have another script which I've written called Every Little Thing, which I actually wrote even prior to The Playback Singer, but it's a slightly bigger budget, so I wanted to make something first that I knew we could get funded. And that is a little more of a dramatic film with a mystery element to it. And so that's the next project I hope to move on to.
And tell me about being an Indian woman in Hollywood. Off the top of my head, I can name Kathryn Bigelow as a director, and then there's not a lot more names to follow her. Is it tough knowing that it's tough, or does that just make you work a little harder?
Probably makes me work a little harder, honestly. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, you have to, Kathryn Bigelow is extremely talented and she's done extremely well, and there are other female directors who've done really well. One thing I've actually found interesting, I'll just throw this in, is I think people have been kind of surprised by the film because I am a female director, they kind of assumed it would be a different kind of film. And maybe it's slightly sexist, but I think they don't expect it to be as funny as it is. And I think a lot of people have said to me they're surprised that Ross's character has as big a role as he does, you know? And I think that's in part because when they see a female director, that's not necessarily the expectation, even though I think Navi's role plays a huge part of it as well. So that's been interesting, too. So I guess what I'm sort of trying to say in a roundabout way is that I think I'm going to end up making films that certainly are made in a certain way and care about relationships and characters, maybe in part because I'm a woman, but other aspects of it not necessarily related to that.
Good answer. Well, folks, listen, The Playback Singer just debuted at the 2013 Cinequest Film Festival, where, as we said, it received the New Visions Award. And it will continue appearing in film festivals across the country in the coming months as Suju and the producers seek a U.S. theatrical distribution deal, probably a DVD deal. They'd like to get it on your Amazon player. They'd like
Absolutely.
To get it on all those places. There is a website you can go to see a trailer for the film. It is The playbacksinger.com. See, I stumble over my English, too, ladies. So it's theplaybacksinger.com, and I wondered if either of you is on Twitter or Facebook. You'd like to let people know if they could reach out to you there?
Yeah, there's. You can follow the film at the PB Singer, or you can go to facebook.com/theplaybacksinger and follow us there, too, please.
Yeah, and for me, I'm on Facebook at navirawat.com. I'm the one with the most followers, or the most friends, rather, on Facebook. There's a fake me, but the real me has the most friends on Facebook, and then you can, and then I'm also on Twitter at Navi Rawat, Navi underscore Rawat.
Very good. Well, Ravi and Suju, it was delightful to meet and talk to both of you today. I love the film. Encourage people to see it when they have the opportunity, whether it's in festivals or however they can get their hands on it, their eyeballs on it. And thank you both so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E's Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, the TechCrunch headlines, and the Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening. Today's episode of Mr. Media Interviews is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. You know GoDaddy.com from their wild and sexy commercials, but isn't it time you actually test drove their web hosting and domain registration services yourself? For a limited time, Mr. Media listeners can save 10% on the already low price of web hosting services at GoDaddy.com by entering the promo code POD4 at checkout. Again, that's 10% off web hosting when you go to GoDaddy.com and enter the promo code POD4, that's P-O-D, the number 4, at checkout.